We're going to look at a lesson today that I think we've looked at time and time again, and we'll continue to do that. We're going to talk about unfaithfulness today. And I want to try to approach it from a different vantage point. Usually we approach it from the side of looking at individuals and us, our unfaithfulness. The passage that was read in your hearing a while ago is a familiar passage with this topic. Preachers have preached about it. But it is something that we need to think about. We know what faithfulness is. It is those that are loyal, those that are true, those that are going to help us. Don't I look good next to these flowers? Huh? Don't I look good next to the flowers? Oh, cheats. Man, it's hard to get a compliment nowadays. Cindy came in here with these things this morning. She had to carry them on the top of her head. So if she looks shorter today, it's because of the flowers. And you told me somebody had a birthday. Who's got a birthday today? Who? Brianna, 35. She thinks 16 today. So y'all sing happy birthday to her. And if you can do it with a big crowd where it'll embarrass her, I just thought I'd throw that in for you where you could have that. But we know what faithfulness is. We know what unfaithfulness is too. If you've got a car that cranks one time out of every three or four times, you call that, you call it my car, you just call it, it's a clunker. It's just, it's not dependable, you know. And if you're over here and you got a worker that maybe like a young man that worked for my son, he said he never works on Fridays. You can't depend on him. He's undependable. So we know what dependable is. We know what faithfulness is. We know what unfaithfulness is. We understand those terms. We recognize that. And it's not a matter of me up here explaining to you something that you don't know anything about. And I'm not trying to get on to anybody. That doesn't do any good. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. What I want people to do is to look and see and gauge their life. I want people to look at this and understand this because it is important. This is something that has been going on for years. In fact, in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, listen to what this says. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty. He talks about how loyal he is, how faithful he is. But look at this. But who can find a faithful man? We got a lot of people talking about it, but can you really find one? And then Psalms 21 in verse 1, it says, help, Lord, I need your help. For the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. The faithful are disappearing. They're not there. And so we're talking about something that has been going on for years. Preachers have preached about it. I preached about it. Mark's preached about it. The elders have talked about it. We've all talked about it. But does it get any better? Are people changing? Is it having a difference in their lives? And see, sometimes you have to come back and say, okay, is this going to change people's lives? Is this making people different? And maybe it is. I hope so. We're not going to stop preaching about it. We're not going to stop talking about it because it has to do with the souls of people. And that's important. Because, see, we can come to the services and never make it to heaven. We can study our Bibles and never make it to being faithful to God. What we've got to do, and it's got to start from the heart, and it's got to change us, and we've got to be different people. So today, I want to approach this from a different vantage point. I want to approach this from the side of who is affected in this? I don't think we realize who is affected. I've had people to tell me that maybe they stopped attending the worship services and they don't come anymore, and you talk to them about their life, and they say, well, it's just me. It's just my life. I want you to see today that it's more than that. It has a great deal to do with more than that. It has to do not only with my life, but with the life of other people. And it's important that we realize that. Now, let's look at this. All right, we need to realize that, first of all, we are hurting ourselves when we're not faithful. And preachers talk about this. We talk about hurting our own selves because of this. The passage, whoops, I'd like to throw that one away. The passage that we read a while ago in Matthew 24 is talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about a day and a time. If you go back up to verse 36, he said only God knows that. The angels don't know it, but that time is coming. And what he's trying to say to the people is you need to prepare for that time. Now, they all knew that. He was talking to people that were Jewish people that had the Jewish law, and they knew that one day God was going to make people give an account. Now, sometimes they thought it was somebody else and not them. Maybe that's where we are. We think it's somebody else that's going to be judged and not us. Because I'm a Christian. I have been baptized. That's great. But are we living that? And I'm not saying, are you perfect? None of us are. But are we living according to that? Does it change our heart? Does it cause us to be different kind of people? Jesus here in Matthew 24 is trying to say that people need to realize that there's a difference. There's a separation there. And if you start in verse 41, it starts talking about two women are in a field. And he said, one's going to be taken and one's going to be left. Then he starts in verse 42. He said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. You don't know when he's going to. And then he gives an illustration here. He wants to illustrate what he's trying to say. He said, but know this, that if a master of the house had workers, people that were working for him, and he knew the hour when people were going to come and break into his house, he would be prepared for them. He'd be ready for them. But you don't know when a robber is going to come. He's going to use the master in just a little bit and say, here's this master, and he's going to put his servant over the other servants. Now what his job is one, to watch over the other servants and to watch out for them, to help them. He doesn't do that. He doesn't help them. In fact, it goes on to talk about how that after a while he thinks, well, my master's not coming back. I can live any way I want to. And he can mistreat the other servants. He can not feed them. He can beat them. He can do things to them. He's saying, don't be that way, because there is a master coming back one day and you're going to have to give an account for that. And you're going to have to stand there. And he said, what's going to happen there is one is going to be received and he's going to be blessed. In verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him a ruler over a lot of things, over all things. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he goes through and mistreats and misuses what he has that belongs to his master, then there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you see there that there's going to be a difference there for people? Now, this is what you've heard preachers say. This is what you've heard preachers talk about. And certainly that's true. And we have to be careful about that. We need to realize that sometimes it's hard for people, after they've heard the gospel, to continue obeying the gospel. Because if they are those that are not going to be faithful, and they're not going to put this faithfulness, and nobody can force you to do that. The elders cannot force you to be faithful. I can't force you to be faithful. It wouldn't be good for us to even try to do that. But we've got to encourage you to try to be faithful. But what do you encourage? Turn over to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, if you would. In Hebrews 6, the Hebrew writer here is trying to help people to see and understand, because some of them were becoming unfaithful. Some of them were not serving God any longer. Now, in verse 4 it starts, for it is impossible, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you look at who these people are. They're people that they've heard the gospel. They're people that have served God. They're people that the Holy Spirit has dwelt within them. Now that sounds like a pretty faithful person. But now, look at this. And we have to understand this. in verse 5. And he's tasted of the good word of God. He may have been a daily Bible reader. He may have been a person that studied his Bible. And he's seen the power of the age to come. He really believes that there's a heaven. He really believes that there's a time when God is going to appear before everybody, or everybody's going to appear before God, whichever side you want to look at. But we're going to be there before God. He said, that's what's going to happen now. Look at this. If they fall away. Now here's a person who has the Holy Spirit. Here's a person who has the Word of God. Here's a person who's following the Word of God. But they turn their backs on that and walk away from it. Now, look at the question he's trying to ask here. If they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. All right, now, are we saying that they cannot ever repent? No. We're saying, do they ever want to repent? That's the thing. Do they really ever want to change? Because he goes on here to try to say, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now here, they have received all the wonderful blessings and they understand what they are. But then they chose to walk away from that. He said, I've got to ask you something. What can we show them that would be greater, that would cause them to change? Brother, you see, this is how serious it is. When people go away from God, the possibility of them coming back is very slim. In fact, it's almost impossible for them to be able to do that. That's the reason that I've got to be faithful. It's not a matter of, well, you know, I've seen some youth ministers say, well, you know, I've seen people that they did this in their life and then they came back to the church. That's great. That's wonderful. And it does happen. But generally, what happens is people that go away don't come back. Is that what you've seen in your life? Is that what you've seen in your own family? It's happened. What can we offer those people? He here is saying there's nothing left for us to offer them. There's nothing there. If they've crucified again to themselves the Son of God, if they've done that and put Him to an open shame, what else can we show them? What else do we have to offer them? There's nothing else. You go to them and you talk to them about Jesus Christ. You talk to them about His life. He needs you. You need Him. You need to come back. It doesn't mean that much. Why? Well, they've already had it. It's not there. If you tried to talk to people about that, and see, we're talking about the individual here. We're talking about that. But now, this is what I want us to see. I want us to look at this. A person becomes unfaithful. How does that affect the weak and the new Christian? How does it affect them? You see, it's not a matter of, I've had people say, it's my soul. It's mine. I can do what I want to with it. And I would agree with them. They have the ability to do what they want to with their soul. But what we've got to do is to realize how that affects other people. Not everybody in the church is a strong person. Some of them are weak. And they haven't reached the ability to study the Bible enough to know where the Scriptures are, to understand how that they need to be faithful. And certainly they need to grow, but sometimes they don't. And then you've got new Christians that maybe they don't know all the Word of God. Maybe they've heard what to do to become a Christian. They've obeyed the gospel, and all they know is, I've obeyed the will of God. I've been immersed in water. They may not know exactly how to live. You know what they're going to look at? Me and Melvis and Linda and Henry and Paulette. They're going to look at other people more than they're going to look at this Bible. Because honestly, this Bible for them at that time is confusing. You been there? You know what that is? When somebody gives you this book and says, okay, study this, and you're going, whoa! I can't do all that. See, what we've got to do is we've got to understand that sometimes when I'm not faithful, I'm encouraging those that are new Christians. I'm encouraging those that are weak Christians. I'm encouraging them not to be faithful. I'm showing them an example of somebody that's been a Christian for a long time. Can you think of people in your mind that were faithful years ago, that you looked up to, that you thought were the greatest Christians that ever walked? What happened when they walked away? Did it challenge your faith? Did it cause you to say, wait a minute, what about this? And sometimes it does that, and we've got to understand that. We've got to be those people that we recognize how this is going to affect other people, and my faithfulness affects other people. It's important that I realize that. You may cause them to stumble. Now, what does Jesus think about that? Now, the passage that we've got listed up there, Matthew 18 and verse 6. Some disciples said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus took a child and put a child in the midst of them. Now, listen to what he said. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me. He's not just talking about little children, but he's talking about those that believe in him. And maybe they're new Christians. Maybe they're those that are weak. He said, here's the Christian. Here's who they are. But look at this. He looks at others that are around them. And he says, listen, he believes in me to sin. It would be better to cause him to sin. It would be better for a millstone. And you know what those millstones are? They're big old round rocks with big holes in them. And some of them, they got them 4 foot, 2 foot thick. Sometimes they're maybe 2 foot and a foot thick. But just think, if somebody tied a rope to that and tied it around your neck, carried you out to the deepest part of the ocean and threw you in, going down. He said it would be better. And he's just talking about physical stuff. He hadn't got to the spiritual parts yet. It would be better if that had happened to that person rather than they offend, hurt a little one, a new Christian. And I think that's what he's talking about here. He's trying to say to the disciples, you need to realize the responsibility you have in living faithful. You need to realize the responsibility you have in other people. You say, well, wait a minute. No, that's not my fault. They made that decision. Yes, but they didn't have an example to follow. That's what I've got to be. That's what you've got to be. You see, this thing of Christianity is not an individual sport. It's all of us together. We say it's a team. God says it's a church working together to accomplish these things, to be able to do these things. And we need to help those that are weak and those new Christians to be the best spiritual people they can be. You know, there's the boys' club and the girls' club and all these things to help people, help young people, to be mentors for them. I was trying to think of the group that does the speaking, and I can't think of the term right now, but they train young people how to speak. When the young men were here from Hartsel and the young ladies from Hartsel last week, didn't they all do a great job? Weren't you proud of them? Aren't you proud of our kids? In fact, everybody after the kids get up and speak, start thanking the kids, thanking the kids, thanking the kids. And I'm not saying that in derision. That's great. That's fabulous. They need that. They deserve that. And we need to give them even more than that. We need to give them an example of people who are going to serve God and do God's will. Let me tell you something. Henry even leads a song. Why do you do that? Why do you do that, Henry? Okay. You put footsteps so they'll know where to walk. Henry, are you the best song leader we got? Okay. He's like me. He gets up and stands up and hopes that everybody hits it right. Some pitch it, I just throw it. And we're trying to encourage people. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me and we're all responsible for each other. That's what faithfulness is. That's what we're supposed to do, is to help other people to be able to do that. Now, I want us to see something else here. Look at this. Do you realize that older people can be hurt because of unfaithfulness? Now, look at this if you would. Paul spoke about Timothy. He said a lot of things about Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he said, I am mindful of the sincere faith that is in you. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he said, I think about the faith that's in you. And Paul said, man, I feel good about that. What if Timothy had become unfaithful? You remember the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, encouraging him not to become unfaithful? What if Timothy had just got up one Sunday and he had just said to the people, listen, I have had it, all this stuff. I mean, I'm working myself to death and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm preaching sermons and nobody's listening. I'm trying to help people to see how to live the Christian life and nobody's looking. I'm tired of this and this is my last Sunday in the pulpit. I'm out of here. What would that have done for Paul? Do you think that would have troubled him? You think that would have hurt him? Boy, I could just see Paul say, I can't stand this anymore. I can't take this. And then you got Titus and you got all these other people that Paul encouraged to do what was right, encouraged to live right. And he talked to some churches and he said, it'll just kill me if you're not faithful. Older people are hurt by younger people not being faithful. We want to encourage every young person. But let me tell you something. Those of you that are younger, and that's a relative term. If you got a relative that's young, it's good. Be faithful for those that are older because they're looking for a future in the church. The saddest thing in our society today is to go to a congregation where there are no young people at all. Been there? Seen it? Been a party of it? I've seen congregations, I've had elders to tell me we would hire young people to come if we could find them. They don't have any. And those older people are there and they're looking around and they're saying, there's nobody. This thing is not going to make it. Just think about how that would be. So you as a young person have the power and the ability to encourage those that are older to serve God and to do the will of God. And you need to realize how wonderful that is. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 said that he said, daily I have the pressures not only from the outside on the church, but I have the pressures and the problems that are dealing with the inside of the church. And he's saying, they are weighty, they're heavy. Elders need your encouragement. Preachers need your encouragement. Parents need your encouragement. And let me tell you something. It hurts when it's not there. And we got a lot of churches that are getting there, including us. And we need that. And we need to be willing to do those things that are going to help. Now, I got to hurry up here because I got to get through in time. Get a bigger contribution if I get through in time. Did y'all know that? We've got to be people that we realize that we can hurt our family. I've had people, probably Mark has and other people, how do you do a funeral for a person who has been a member of the church but they're unfaithful? What do you say? That's not the hardest thing in the world to do. You talk about other things. You talk about how that these people need to be faithful that are there. You talk about, you know, maybe the good things in the person's life, but you can't offer a family hope. You can't lie. That's wrong. You can't do that. How would it be on your family if they know that you're unfaithful and they stand over that coffin there in the graveyard? And that body's being, I mean, you're just fixing to lower the body. Do you realize what that would do to your family? Do you realize the hurt that's caused on your parents, on other people, because people are unfaithful and then they know they're going to die? And what you can do is encourage people by being faithful and helping them to realize that. Don't let your family be there. Listen, I have seen this time and time again where people have come up and a family member, maybe they never obeyed the gospel. Maybe they obeyed the gospel and they've been unfaithful for years. And they call the preacher and say, "Preacher, come and do a funeral," like it's going to stick them in heaven because a Church of Christ preacher preaches their funeral. That doesn't do it. It's faithfulness that does it. It's being faithful to God. It's serving God. And in that, I do not mean that you're number one Christian, that you're better than anybody else, that there's nobody at church that knows more passages than you. There's nobody that comes to service is greater than you. You sit on the front row all the time, and you've got all this done, and you're doing all that. That's not it. That's not it. We're talking about people that are faithful. Paul on one occasion talked about people that were running for a race. He said, they all run, but one of them's going to get a reward. What's that? It's a bunch of vines that they kind of put together and stick on your head. And he said, they'll kill themselves trying to get it. You might not have read that part of the passage yet. But he said, listen, in this Christian race, who's going to get the reward at the end? Who? Everybody. Everybody that runs the race. What we've got to do is keep on keeping on. We can't quit. Now, you may know 1,000 more passages than I do. You may know more about Christianity than I could ever know. That has nothing to do with it. That's not saying we don't need to learn more. But we're looking around at other Christians and say, well, I'm not as strong as Henry, and I'm not as strong as Linda, and I'm not as strong as this. Don't judge it that way. Let the Lord be the judge. You just be the servant. And you just keep serving. That's what not being faithful is all about. Being faithful. That means that you're in there. You may not know everything. You may not do everything. Kind of like the guy that was blind that would go to the worship service. Or no, he was hard of hearing and he kept going to the worship service. Some guy wrote him a note and said, why do you do that? He said, I want people to know whose side I'm on. I mean, we this is what it's all about. And so we've got to understand what it's going to do to our family, how it's going to hurt them. Paul in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 said, when I call to remembrance, he's talking about Timothy. He said, Timothy, when I call to remember about your family, I remember about the genuine faith. It was no fake. It was genuine, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. It's a genuine faith. That was in your grandmother. That was in your mother. And I'm persuaded it's in you too. It's there. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're trying to find, is that faithfulness that's there and how that is a part of us. We've got a responsibility to teach our children. We need to do that. Children, you have a responsibility to learn. It's not just, well, parents didn't do it. No, you've got a responsibility. Train a child. Teach a child in his way. Help him to learn the right way and encourage them to do what's right. Help them to know what that is. And I know how hard that is. We need to recognize that if we're not faithful, the world does not have a light to follow. Now, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 16, it said to Christians, you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill. You're there. All right, what if your light's out? How are people going to know which way to go? What if your light's not shining? You say, well, it's not real bright. That's okay. A little light in a dark place really shows well. We need to do that. So you're light to the world. But listen, this final thing I think is important. Do you realize that it hurts God for us to be unfaithful? I've seen preachers paint pictures of God as though he was thrilled. Saw one time, they had this person kind of hanging over a flame, and God's getting ready to drop him in. That's totally opposite from what the Bible's trying to say. Listen at this passage here. Listen at this passage. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. And mark this one. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is God talking. I don't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's not it. But rather that the wicked turn from his way and repent. That's what God wants. He's not happy that anybody's lost. And if you've got that idea, get it out of your head, because it's not there. Will people be lost? Yes. Only because they will not come to God. God has done everything he can to come to us. He's given his son. He's given everything that we need. There is nothing that you need to be saved other than you've got it all. You've got everything you need. Might not ever have everything you want, but you got everything you need. And so here God is pleading with us. Listen to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some people count slack. God keeps his word. God's going to keep his word. He'll never lie to you. He'll never tell you something that's false. He's always going to tell you the truth. He's always going to do that. He's going to do that. But he is patient toward you, not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's God, and here's God in heaven. You talk about God turning his back on his son on the cross. I don't know if we understand how powerful that is. We talk about the world becoming dark. Why? Because God loved everybody. He had to do that because of his love for us. He gave his son for us so that we wouldn't be lost. And you're going to tell me he's thrilled when we're lost? That's a lie from the devil. And don't believe it. He wants everybody to repent. Now, will he judge people? Yes. Will some people be condemned? Yes. But it's not because of God. It's because of our will. Be a faithful person. Be a faithful person because you can not only encourage yourself, but you can help other people to be faithful. I've got to be faithful for you. You've got to be faithful for me. Neither one of us is as strong as we need to be. We need that. We need each other. We need all those people that are not in here too. We need that. Most churches have more that are unfaithful than they have that are faithful.